Radio Ghana.
And live from our national studios here in Accra, networking with all our regional FM stations and across the globe on gbcghana.com, we say welcome to Behind the News, our news and current affairs program where we get to speak to the experts and the news makers. My name is Kinsley Odinchere. For tonight, why is the price of cement rising steeply? What explanation is being given by the cement producers? Players in the education sector in the Volta region expressed grave concern over the lack of teachers in rural Volta. How unique is this challenge and what are they doing to address it? And we move over to America, technology pair meeting where President Mills and three other African leaders continue their participation in the G8 summit. How can Africa benefit from President Obama's $3 billion pledge? All these issues and more coming to you within the next hour or so, and we will be welcoming your comments on 02666 77570, 02666 77570. Behind the News, you are live on Garden City Radio and also on Radio BR. Sunyang. For the past 2 months, the price of cement has been skyrocketing. The price of a bag of cement, which was sold at 14 Ghana cedis 50 pesos, has within 8 weeks reached 23 Ghana cedis, an increase of nearly 9 Ghana cedis. What has caused the price hike? Are we going to see a rise on rents, and are estate developers coping with this development? And what is government also doing about the price? And especially when it has so many projects to complete. We first want to speak to Dr. Dawson Amwa, the Strategy and Corporate Affairs Director of GASEM, on how or why we are having this present challenge. Dr. Amwa, you are welcome.
Yeah, too much. And good evening to you.
Yes. Is the hike normal?
It's not normal. It's actually not normal. Let me begin by saying that, you know, GASEM, we have not increased our ex-factory price since February. As I speak to you right now, we sell to our registered distributors a bag of cement, 13.34 Ghana cedis. And that's what we sell to distributors. In fact, we don't sell to the public, we sell to registered distributors with us, distributors which you to call them as wholesalers. And the price, the prevailing price that we give them. But the situation, you know, the current situation in the market can be explained as follows. Our major competitor, that's the diamond cement, located at Aflao, for the past 3 weeks, have not been operating due to bent transformer as a result of a tender, very heavy tender truck, which has actually destroyed the transformer. Mm-hmm. And the information is that because of the bent transformer, they are not producing. And if I say they are not producing, it's zero production.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a competitor that holds about 35% of the market, so far as cement is concerned. So with this situation, not producing, pressure is seriously on GASEM. And what is happening at the retail market is purely market dynamics. Purely market dynamics. The inability of the major competitor, that is diamond cement, of supplying cement actually to the market. And of course, talking about the limitation of GASEM, if I say the limitation of GASEM, what I mean is that it is the pressure of GASEM to meet the growing demand has actually caused this market dynamics. What do I mean? It is like the gap between the demand and supply has widened. So the few distributors or retailers having the cement are manipulating the prices. So this hike is a result of, I would say, this temporary shortage of the supply of cement to the market.
So does it mean it's completely beyond you to do something about the situation?
We really have the capacity. That's what which we are actually producing. Like I said, we do not have interruptions so far as, you know, production and supply is concerned. I mean, we are doing our best so far as our various production capacities are actually concerned. But the constraint here is as a result of the inability of our major companies there to supply.
Mm-hmm.
That's pushing the pressure. And that's widening the demand and supply gap. And that's exactly what's happened. But thank God, the information that we are receiving is that they will be up and doing maybe by the end of what you call tomorrow or Monday.
Yeah.
So that they can also be in the system. I mean, what if you ask, I would not even wait for you to ask me.
Yeah.
The point is that what is the antidote?
Mm-hmm.
The antidote is that we have to ensure that there is availability of cement, reliability of cement, you know, consistent supply of cement to the market to counteract this menace.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really offensive. I mean, you will not believe it, that personally, even I sent someone to go and buy cement to just do some menial job in my house, and it just paying as much as 24 Ghana cedis per bag. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the explanation is what I've told you.
Yeah, but looking at it, some people also complain, in spite of the hike, they talk of differential prices too. What is your policy per pricing of cement in this country?
Pricing of cement in this country will differ because of the location. You know, the variable here is actually, if you talk about the extracted price, it is one. If you are buying from Tema, 13.34, you're buying from what you call two registered distributors. But the difference here is the location. Definitely, you can't expect the price of cement in Accra to be the same as the price of cement in Kumasi. Because it's a location difference.
Mm-hmm.
The distance. The variable here, the difference here, is the transportation.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it is, the transportation. So that's why it's explained that you have different prices across the length and breadth of the country. The difference here is the transportation and the location.
Well, Dr. Dawson Amwa, thank you very much for explaining the issue from the perspective of GASEM.
It's my pleasure.
The Strategy and Corporate Affairs Director of GASEM on the line there. But moving quickly to the other line, Anthony Adinwachi is the Head of Commercial Department of Diamond Cements. You are welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Well, we've heard the explanation coming from GASEM talking about shortage on your part. Is that the whole story, or there is much more to it as to a bent transformer?
Yeah, we have a bent transformer. Actually, it happened on the 25th of April this year. A lightning struck it. And that transformer is not for us, it's for GRICO.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly, very lucky we were able to stay. We haven't a spare in the Kenta at Takoradi.
Uh-huh.
Transform a huge one which is being lifted by two-hundred crane.
Uh-huh.
So they are brought in, they are working on it. We are working very seriously on it, but because the damage is very high.
Yeah.
Huge damage, of course. It's taking them about 3 weeks or more than that to fix it. We are hoping that by Monday, they will be able to fix it and get the light, and then we start the grinding.
Yeah.
And after about 24 hours, we'll be able to start supplying the cement.
So when everything is working well, what is the unit price of cement from your end?
It's 14.42, 14 cedis, 42 pesos at our factory at Aflao.
Yeah. So, but have you seen the prices rising much more than you expect, looking at the unit price?
We are talking about the market price.
Yes, before even this problem.
Yes, there was a price increase which, you know, we could not even understand. But you see, the major issue is that the supply and demand is what is brewing in marketing. The supply and demand. The transportation has not been increased.
Mm-hmm.
Neither are the factory have been increased. But the shortage of cement, our side, we are producing the maximum that we can, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We are producing about 5 tons a day.
Yeah.
You know, this is what we are producing now. And I think these 5 tons is where at the moment we be. But we want to hit the target of about 1.8 million tons a year.
Yeah, how soon do you expect to get to that figure?
Oh, even this five tons, if you you are taking about 300 days in a year, then we are going to about 1.5 million tons a year. So this, we're hoping that by the end of the year, we'll be hitting there.
Yeah. Looking at the differential between the factory price and what is sold on the market, would you in any way, we are talking about the free market though, suggest yes. that there is a controlled price of some sort?
You see, Ghana doesn't have the control price law. It has been lifted years back.
Yeah, by recommendation too. Recommended prices are given for some items.
You see, you can recommend to your suppliers.
Mm-hmm.
And they will take it or not.
Mm-hmm.
For example, last year, somewhere in October and November, when somebody buys a cement with all the other expenses, came to about 100,000, that is about 10 cities.
Mm-hmm.
He was getting only, some cases, only 10 pesos or 15 pesos.
Mm-hmm.
That is the margin that the customer or the retailer was getting. So cement price mainly depends upon the season and secondly, the supply which is in the system.
Mm-hmm.
And our part as the group, we are trying our best to let Ghana have enough cement. As I'm talking with you now, we are producing cement in the northern region.
Yeah.
Bope, you might have heard of it, that is called Savannah Diamond.
Yeah.
And we are also trying to get another plant in Takrad. That's Western Diamond. Which all goes on well. If you are not litigation of land, you may have come. You may have completed it by the end of the year. But we hope maybe the first quarter of next year or somewhere next year you'll be able to produce it.
Well, we want to thank you very much, but as you said, we are expecting that very soon when you start production, we'll be looking and monitoring as to how prices will be coming down. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Anthony Adin Bwachi is the head of commercial department of Diamond Cement, and he was telling us the challenge they've been having over the past few years. Well, you cannot control prices, but can consumers do something about the situation? What is their main concern? Kofi Kapito is the chief executive of Consumer Protection Agency. He's also on the line with us. You're welcome, sir.
Good evening to your listeners, and good evening to you.
Can consumers really do something about the price hike?
You know, the only thing the consumer can do at this moment is either to stop buying the cement. Unless, of course, you really, really need it. Because we can, in our own way, either boycott this high increases that is going up. The last time somebody told me about the cement is now 22 cedis this morning, which mm-hmm. is 22 Ghana. It is. I'm wondering why is cement almost to the tune of about $13-$14 a bag.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the gentleman is still on the line. Yeah. I would have liked to ask him specifically what is their cost. Every manufacturer should have what is called suggested retail price.
Mm-hmm.
It's those suggested retail price that would give the consumer as to what the profit margins are. The retailers are blaming quote-unquote transportation. He's talking about they're going to build a few, one is, I think, the Western Diamond and the Northern, whatever. The question is it going to reduce their prices? I'm not talking about transportation. If the factories themselves are pricing a bag of cement between about 13 to 15 Ghana, it is ridiculous. Ridiculous in a sense that in a country where minimum wage is 4 cedis and 70 pesos a day, not an hour. You see, in Ghana, we don't look at official incomes. We look at other unofficial incomes that people, whether through proper means or through foul means, are making.
Mm-hmm.
Because this would never happen in a proper structured economy, like maybe Europe or like maybe North America. It's only in Africa that, and the most interesting is Ghana cement.
Mm-hmm.
It is called Ghana cement, but I can guarantee you the share percentage does not even favor Ghana.
So, Kofi Kapito, if I can just come in here, please. Looking at what is happening, and I posed that question that will they even recommend prices, and they were telling us about the free market we are having. Are we pushing free market situation too far, looking at our situation as a country?
Like I said earlier, United States have a free market. The most free market in the world is the United States. But still, there are things that are put in place to protect the consumer. Like I mentioned, what is called suggested retail price set by the producers or the manufacturers. So that if I go and I know that a retailer should not mark the cement up more than one Ghana cedis, then I know that he is actually taking advantage of me. The fact that we have a free market does not mean that we cannot pick or put things in place to protect the consumers. It's only in Africa that sometimes I don't understand what they say. They say free market. Let me give you an example.
Yeah.
You know the car industry, okay?
Yeah.
In Europe, in America, if you go on the net, you can check and see exactly what is the markup of a brand new vehicle, being a Mercedes or a Rolls Royce. So when you walk into the showroom, you know exactly how to bargain with the dealers. As to, the dealer cannot put $20,000 markup on a car when he is supposed to put $2,000. So I go with information at my disposal, saying that if you don't sell it to me, I'll go to Mr. Y.
Yeah. So it means they even have a range, in spite of the fact that we are talking about a free market.
They have what?
Range within which they can sell products, in spite of their free market.
I think that's your last quick question, sir.
Yeah. We are talking about the fact that even with America being a free market economy.
Yes, sir.
They still have a range. That is, for those who are selling different products, they still have a range within which they can sell particular products.
Exactly. I don't understand how a retailer wants to make 100% on top of any commodity when the manufacturer, him or herself, is making maybe 10 or 15%.
Coffee, please hold on. We'll come back to you shortly. But as we complain about this, some scientists are saying that maybe as a country, we have pushed ourselves into that situation by not taking advantage of existing things we have in our environment. Engineer Robert Wood is called the crusading engineer. He's been talking about how we can use technology to get out of such situations. He's on the line. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. How are you?
Fine, thank you. We are talking about cement shortage, and you people have been talking about the fact that we could have gone in a different direction and not be complaining. What could have helped us out of this situation?
The first is all the basic ingredients for making cement are available in this country. All the basic components. And under the Nkrumah program, Ghana was supposed to produce all cement from the available raw material base. We have everything that is necessary for us to produce. But you have to understand that you are dealing with the multinationals in a developing economy. Just have to be very careful. I mean, these multinationals have linkages with respect to raw materials and so on. So they would do everything to maintain those linkages, and they will do everything to prevent you from developing your own raw material and so that you can control the cost. Now, the raw material, the basic raw material that is being used for cement is coming from outside, coming from a subsidiary of the center. So, we can agree that the raw material is X dollars. And so, it's brought to the country at X dollars, so you can query, so they can inflate it. So, you are in this state. Now, I am a bit worried about the way we are running this economy. We are running the economy as if the economy is really developed. So the same guidelines for a developed economy. You can never do that for a developing economy.
Yeah. So specifically for cement, what could we have done to even have material just like it so that we won't be complaining and relying so much on only two?
What we would have done was develop the raw material base, what I said, all the ingredients for producing cement are available in this country. Where you have a deposit of the raw material for cement production. So if building material, then of course they develop all the things. But we still do strong clay base.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the houses are built with bricks.
Mm-hmm.
And these are better heat conductors. In other words, if you use bricks to build a house, but brick has a very long life. And moreover, it doesn't prevent heat coming to the home.
Yeah.
The problem we had with brick production was the energy required to burn the brick.
And Engineer, is that same problem of energy we are talking about, even with the production of diamond cement? So how do you go around it to still make the bricks available?
Okay, now we're going to get that. See, some of the problems we can resolve immediately. So we have to plan ourselves that in the next 3 or 4 or 5 years, we have to solve the problem. Some of them can just not be solved immediately. If we don't program ourselves to resolve them, we will go and meet the same problem in 5, 6, 20 years. Now, if we had really taken a firm decision to develop the clay deposits and all the materials required for cement, 20 years ago, I believe we would. But immediately, we need to also challenge these people as regards to the cost of the input. That is the input raw material that have been imported for the production of cement. Nobody is controlling that. And then we can be taken for granted.
Okay. Well, Engineer Robert Wood, we want to thank you very much. But as time permits and technology also allowing, we will be exploring.
I don't have enough power on my phone.
Okay, but we want to thank you very much for so sharing that little power with us on that phone. Thank you so much, Engineer Robert Wood. It's called the Crusading Engineer, talking about the fact that we could have looked in our own environment. But coming back to you, Kofi Kapito, Engineer Wood is also coming back to that same issue you mentioned. We should be questioning on the inputs being used and the pricing. Can you start doing something about it now?
Yeah, what I'm saying is, this is where sometimes when you say government, people will talk about a particular party. I'm not talking about the party. I'm talking about the government that is supposed to protect all Ghanaians. In a sense that you cannot tell me that somebody is manufacturing something in Ghana, and then we don't have any way of calculating as to how much it costs the person to produce and what it is markup in terms of profit margin. It is ridiculous. It is absurd that we don't have a way, or even if we do, then we should let all Ghanaian consumers be aware that this is how much it costs to make a bag of cement. Okay, and this is how much upon all the transportation, upon all the other stuff added on, this is how much we think it should be sold. Okay, not to leave the consumers at the mercy of the retailers. I don't blame the retailers. You know what? There is a hidden thing that the retailers are also going through, whereby retailers even have to pay certain monies at the factories, to the workers of those institutions, so that they'll be able to get supply on time. Most of them, they go and pay their money in advance for months. So if the man has gone to the bank to go and borrow, and it takes 2 months for him or her to get his or her supply, don't you think he's going to add on all the additional cost, and the consumer has to beg? So we should make things as transparent as possible. Look, I can guarantee you there's no shortage of cement in Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the pricing that we need to look at it. It is about time that we all stakeholders,
mm-hmm,
we should call a forum and say we want to know exactly how much it costs to make a bag of cement in Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to any country in Europe or in America, the government will be able to tell you how much a cement should cost.
Okay,
so we should do that. And let's stop this. Look, the cement companies in Ghana have become a cartel. They are cartel because what? We think the more people that comes in, the cheaper it would get. It's going up.
I guess the suggestion given by an engineer Wood is something that is worth pursuing, where the local things or materials are promoted. We can be heading somewhere. But I want to thank you very much for your time tonight.
Thank you.
That is the Chief Executive of Consumer Protection Agency. Behind the News, you are getting us live on Ubuntu 96.5. You are also live on Unique 95.7, Twin City Radio, and also Radio Central. We move on to our next story. The Volta region is one of the regions noted for its quality of education. However, recent reports of results of junior high school students indicate that all is not well, especially at the basic level. Enrollment into the public basic schools is said to be decreasing at the expense of the private schools, which is rather going high. Stakeholders in the Volta regional education sector identified this as one of the challenges during this year's annual review conference. The conference, which ended today, gave the stakeholders the opportunity to review the challenges and achievements of the education sector and to look at the way forward. Mama Aglachu is one of the queens at Hobankwe and a retired principal of Peki College of Education. She has been looking at the situation for some time and has joined us on the line. You are welcome, madam.
Thank you. Thank you.
I've mentioned part of the problem, but what do you think really is worrying education in the Volta region, according to what you found out?
Thank you. He said I was the principal of a training college.
A retired principal.
Not only have I been in management position at the school level, but also at the district level.
Yeah.
And I acted as a regional director and again as a director at headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at the education downfall in the Volta region, as I said the last time when we had a review of whole municipal education directorate, I said there are four processes worrying the products of our education in the region. These four processes are, one, the process, the policy, the programs, and the politics. As you are aware, the process by which we are going through education seems to be changing on and off. So also are the policies. Today is 3 years senior high school. The next time is 4 years senior high school. Today at the basic level, it is BTL. Another time is NALAP. It is this program, whole school development, or what we call community alliance programs.
Yeah. Mama, please, before you continue, we are having a little feedback here. If you can please go down on the volume of your set, and then you can proceed. Mama Glachi, at Hobankwe, yes, madam?
Yes, I said the four P's that are affecting our outcome, which is the product, that is the output of education, which is going down in the Volta region. Like I said the last time when we had a review of the municipal, the whole municipal education directorate, I discussed that there were four things hampering education in the region. These are the policies, the processes, the programs, and the politics. These four P's are again affected by another four P, which is the prejudices, the procrastination or postponement of activities, the unnecessary perceptions that we have about education, and which is also hampered by our poverty. So these things affect education. And we need three things to let education move in the region. Those are dedicated teachers and committed communities, as well as a willing pupil or student who are prepared to learn. Do we have these? We don't have dedicated teachers these days. We don't have committed communities. And we don't have pupils or students who are willing to learn.
Mm.
Volta region, like all other regions, has its own problems.
Mm-hmm.
But how far are we being supported to manage education?
Mm.
The northern part of Volta region are equally as poor as the northern part of Ghana, but we don't get the support needed. The Charlotte farmers and the Keta district are equally poor. So also do we have poor farmers in the other parts of the region, but we don't get the support from them. Very few industries exist in the region, and our people, salary workers, they are not getting enough for it. But some are sacrificing. In our public schools, we are not getting the communities to support the building of community schools.
Mm.
While parents are prepared to pay so much in private schools, they are not prepared to support public schools to enter.
Yeah.
So in this way, the teachers have low morale, the communities are not supporting, and the people themselves are not willing to
support. Mama, please hold on. Hello, Mama. Please hold on. I'll come back to you shortly. But Bright, there is the acting head of planning unit of the Volta Regional Education Directorate, and he's also on the line with us. I'll speak to him quickly and then come back to you, please.
Okay.
Mr. Dare, you are welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Yes. You've heard Mama outline some of the issues, and on the note on which she was ending, commitment, dedication to even the public schools, basic schools existing, is a big problem. Do you find it a challenge?
Yes, we find it a challenge. You see, the essence of this review is spread across two thematic areas. That is to look at the quality of education and the accessibility to education. From the analysis we realized in the review, it is clear that the enrollment at the public schools is decreasing, whilst it is increasing in the private institutions of the private schools.
Mm-hmm.
So what this means is that we are experiencing a situation where more people or the parents are becoming interested in paying for the awards to have quality education. The word over here is quality.
Quality. Mm.
Yes. So the problem is that it seems we are not delivering the quality required, or quality that parents are interested in is not being given at the public schools.
Does it not then imply that in one way or the other is defeating having a free basic education and yet diluting to some extent whatever people should have?
Exactly. I will agree with you, but I would also want to add quickly that this problem is as a result of a lot other factors. You see, the analysis I would want to make over here is this. Government has come up with a lot of interventions,
mm-hmm.
which is expected to increase enrollment or to help children get access to education. One of it is the free basic education. Then aside that, we have the issue of capitation grants, we have the issue of free school uniforms, we have the issue of free exercise books, we have the issue of computer being distributed to basic schools, and a lot more. I can continue with that list. Now, if all these things are being implemented with the taxpayers' money, and yet we are saying that the quality of education at a basic level is questionable, then you can agree with me that we are not obviously giving of the best.
Yeah.
And it is not as if we are blaming only one entity. It is a problem that is affecting every stakeholder in education, taking it from the pupil or the students themselves to the parents and then government and other policy makers.
Yeah, but the concern here is that in spite of all the challenges, and sometimes I'm using this one advisedly, some people say some teachers in private schools are not those who have gone through all the training systems or training colleges we have. They still perform well. So where do we draw the line? What is happening?
Yes.
Is it just teacher morale?
Yes, where I think we draw the line is the commitment. which I think Mama was talking about,
mm-hmm.
the commitment from the teachers, commitment from parents and community leaders.
Mm-hmm.
You see, if the parents are not willing to pay for teachers in the basic schools, in the public basic schools, to give up their best,
mm-hmm.
and yet they are ready to pay for those in the private schools to do their best, then that is where we can say that commitment is not the best, because they think that government is paying the teacher, and so the teacher needs no further motivation in order to deliver at the public sector.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to the private sector, they are being paid as well, but that is not government that pays them anyway, but the parents go the extra mile to make sure that whatever the teachers need in order to give off their best for their children to go have quality education or go through education successfully, they mm-hmm. do it.
Yeah, but please let me come in. Mama Blatchy was mentioning something that is also of note, that different programs are introduced regularly and sometimes it disturbs the smooth running of whatever education system we are having. NALAB, this, that, and all.
As
acting head of planning unit, what assessment do you do before some of these things are introduced into the system?
Yes, I would say that most of these things are done, the actual assessments are done at the national level. And so we at the grassroots here do not do the main assessment. This issue, these interventions that we are talking about come as a result of our development partners becoming interested in helping us. And so if one development partner, for example, is a German program, then they believe that this is the way you need to go. So they negotiate with whoever is concerned, government and other top people at the policy-making level, and then they draft the policy, it's adopted, and we are asked to implement.
Yeah. But sometimes you look at a global situation, but where you have to implement to your benefits, you adapt it to local situations. Have you been trying a variation of some sort to work for you?
Yes, we have. We have been trying. For example, what the NALAB program that Mama was talking about, it was piloted, mm-hmm. and then we realized, in fact, the NALAB program simply seeks to address the issue of the
language
of instruction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they believe that if we use the local language to instruct at least the people from the basic 1 to 3 at
mm-hmm.
least, then from basic 4 upwards, they could use the English language.
I used the NALAP just as an example.
Yes.
Because she mentioned others.
Yes. Others, well, for those programs, they are actually, how do I put it, donor supported.
Uh-huh.
So even when it is piloted,
uh-huh.
and we get the exact result or outcome, the continuity and sustainability becomes a problem,
okay.
even if we realize that it is yielding good results for us.
Yeah, but Mr. Dare, before we let you go, was it all a bleak situation as you did your assessment?
Pardon me, can
I was asking whether it was a complete bleak situation or you had some bright spots to talk about.
No, yeah. It was not all a bleak situation. But you see, the reason why it seems we are more concerned with the bleak side is that generally, the general performance of education is really coming down
mm-hmm.
in the region. And that is why it seems we are focusing on that. When we come to issues of classrooms,
mm-hmm.
we realize that the classrooms have increased significantly.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and so we congratulate the government for its intervention on the provision of infrastructure, especially classroom blocks,
mm-hmm.
and then dormitory blocks and so on.
I believe the community should be doing much more.
You realize that at the senior high level,
mm-hmm.
we still have problems with classrooms.
Yeah.
Because the projects that government is giving us, or the infrastructure projects, you realize that most of them dormitory blocks, assembly halls, dining halls, and so on.
Uh-huh.
And you can count only a few classroom blocks.
Uh-huh.
So while we provide the people with places to lay their heads, places to eat, and so on, the gathering places, we are lacking in the area where they need to sit comfortably.
Okay. Mr. Day.
Yes, sir.
There are certainly other areas we can explore, but for now we want to leave it. And thank you very much for joining us tonight on Behind the News.
Thank you, too.
Mama, coming back to you, we are looking at the way forward, charting a course that will help the people here. What do you think should be done in the light of the problems you've identified?
Thank you. You realize that private schools are performing mainly because they have effective supervision. If finance is provided, the district directors and their ancillary staff are resourceful.
Hello, Mama. We have a little challenge on the line with Mama Agblachu. That is one of the queens at Ho Bankoid and a retired principal of Piki College of Education. But some of your tests here, this one says the price of cement is skyrocketing, yet the statistical service say we have single-digit inflation. We need an explanation. Bremer Zakaria is saying so, and Aziz Donla is saying the government is doing well with respect to prices of commodities, so let's maintain President Mills. And Monica Cons in Navrongo, the hike could be a sabotage by some individuals.